Praise the Lord. That wasn't too energetic either. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. My goodness. Hallelujah. You must have had a long day, right? Praise the Lord. Well, we believe in resurrection, right? Amen. We should start practicing it. Praise God. Very happy to be with you. Praise the Lord. And we are living, I believe, in a very critical time in the history of the church. And I think that we need to have ears that hear. There is an admonition in Revelations, I believe, and it's over. It's put in there a number of times. It says, "Be careful how you hear." Or he that hath an ear, what does it say? Yes, somebody had it right. Hallelujah. He says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying." Praise God. We are living in a very critical time. Things are escalating very quickly. They're not moving incrementally anymore. They are moving very quickly. And before we know it, the day that we talked about, or the day that we talk about in such glowing terms of as being the day of the Lord, is upon us, will be upon us. And I hope that we as a people are ready for that day. If it were to come right now, I have questions that we as a people would be able to stand. The Bible says that great tribulation, I know you've heard it many times, great tribulation such as the world has never known is coming upon the earth prior to the coming of Jesus Christ, or during the time frame, or in that time frame that Jesus Christ will come. You know, I have been some very hellacious places. Where humanity could not be more demonic, and the actions that are perpetrated against people are totally, absolutely inhuman. They're totally and absolutely demonic. And yet the Bible says that tribulation such as we have never, never, ever known. Praise God. And you and I have heard a message. And it is the message of Noah. Maybe you could say in some extent we are a second generation Noah. God is wanting to build an ark, but he's wanting to use lively stones. And it would just be like God to make an ark out of stone, because stone don't float. Hallelujah. But he's using lively stones. And we are to be an ark. We are to be a place of safety. Not only are we to be a place of safety, but we are to be those who save the world. Sounds a little presumptuous, doesn't it? Huh? Isn't that what the word says, though? Isn't that what you heard when you heard the word in the beginning? That you would be saviors? Hallelujah. Amen. Moving through the land in authority. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. Doing great signs and wonders. Hallelujah. Maybe you didn't hear the same message I heard, but I heard that we were going to be victorious. I heard we were going to be conquerors. In fact, a lot of the songs that you sing were coming out when I was first coming into this message. One of them was, "We Got the Power." Huh? Hallelujah. I don't think we really had the power, because it kind of fizzled and ran out. Hallelujah. But there are with victory in Jesus. Hallelujah. Not that all of those things aren't true, but they have become somewhat mundane, somewhat cliché, You understand what I mean when I say cliché, an expression that you use and use and use and use and use. Hallelujah. And it really loses its momentum. It loses its power. Hallelujah. And unfortunately, I believe that we as a people are somewhat cliché in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We are supposed to be saviors. We're supposed to be working to save the world. I am finding that I'm having a lot of difficulty just saving myself. Maybe you're not finding that true physically, mentally, emotionally, financially, health-wise, circumstance-wise, and all of those different aspects that go into the environment in which we live. Well, it really shouldn't frustrate us, or really should not depress us, but it should concern us. That is one of my concerns, that it doesn't concern us. We come in, we sit down, we hear a message, we go back out, and I would say within an hour or two, maybe three at the very most, you have forgotten basically what was said or what was shared, unless it was something really out of this world type, heavy anointing of God moving through you with the wind of life. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, we're so busy, it seems like we don't really have much time for God. Praise the Lord. You know, when I was traveling in Ethiopia is a very religious place. Hallelujah. Very religious. Kind of reminds me a little bit of Nigeria, to tell you the truth. Hallelujah. No amens?
Amen.
You guys, I think you're like an electric car. You need to get plugged in. Hallelujah. You have no spiritual energy, hardly. Hallelujah. Your day just kind of wears you out, I guess, huh? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And I always ask them how many Bibles they have. Do we have Bibles here tonight? How many Bibles? I want to see your Bibles. Hold your Bible up. Oh, that's not too bad. Praise the Lord. No, hold them up, hold them up. I want you all to look around. I want you all to look around. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right, put them down. How many of you got cell phones? Hold them up. Or at least hold your hand up. If you have a cell phone, hold your hand up. Huh? Praise the Lord. Well, some of you are afraid to hold it up. But I would say that the ratio is probably about 3-1. Everybody has a cell phone, but not everybody has a Bible. Now, you can tell me you have your cell phone, your Bible on your cell phone. And that praise the Lord, that's good. But there's just something about this book. There's something about this book that is very precious to me. You know, I'm trying to learn how to use one of these, but I've got these little short, fat, stubby fingers. And every time I push something, I push more than what I wanted to push. And if I text somebody, you have to have a translator to translate what it was I was saying. Hallelujah. We're not taking what it is that God has given us serious enough. In fact, I would say we have a term in the States. We call it moonlighting. Does anybody know what moonlighting is? Do you have that terminology here? You have? It's when you have a major job and then you take another job. Hallelujah. And that other job is called moonlighting. I think we're moonlit Christians. Hallelujah. I mean, we come to a meeting, we can't even turn our cell phones off, I'm afraid we'll miss something. Hallelujah. Now, is God supposed to make an appointment between calls to talk with you? And if you're in the midst of your cell phone conversation, can God talk to you? Hallelujah. You know, one of the maladies of one of the maladies is this technology that we have. It is robbing us of the ability, and you know, I'm just as guilty as you, don't get me wrong. I'm going to have to go home and listen to the tape and repent. I'm just as guilty as you concerning it, but it is robbing us of our spirituality. If we want to find out something, we go on the internet and go to Google. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, we are designed, we are created in an image that has technology, spiritual technology, beyond our capabilities of comprehension. Hello? Hallelujah. I mean, if you have the Holy Spirit, you don't need GPS. If you learn how the Holy Spirit speaks to you, if you cultivate the environment in which the Holy Spirit will, that you can recognize the Spirit as it talks to you. I think we should have a week of fasting. Just turn off our cell phones. I know your business would go down the tubes. Huh? Hallelujah. Well, maybe that would be a good thing. I don't know. Hallelujah. What did we do before we had cell phones? Huh? Hallelujah. We are not cultivating a spiritual. We're not cultivating a spiritual friendship with God. Hallelujah. You know, God came down. Friendship was such a thing with God that He came down and manifested Himself in a physical form, and He went and knocked on Abraham's door. Hallelujah. And He had an express purpose for doing it, because, number one, He wanted to reiterate the covenant and renew His position of promise to them. Praise the Lord. But there was some other business that He was involved in, and that He wanted to discuss it with Abraham. Can you imagine, Brother Mike? God coming to your door, knocking on it, to get your idea about Sodom and Gomorrah, as to whether He should destroy it or not. Hello? We are a church. We are so denominationalized in our thinking. We are so church. Well, we have a, there's a, you calcify. Isn't that when you become stiff and immobile? Your bones begin to, we have become churchified. Hallelujah. And it's somewhere along the line. Well, maybe not you. I probably am just preaching to myself. So you could just mark it up as that. Hallelujah. Somewhere along the line, we made a left turn. Not a right turn, a left turn. Hallelujah. And God is trying to wake us up. God is trying to wake us up. Hallelujah. I can remember it was in 2009, because that was the year that Brother Dusile passed away. And we were in a conference somewhere, I'm not going to tell you where, and we were listening to a man, and he was ministering this sonship word. Well, let me say, he was ministering a word that certainly sounded like sonship. And he had all of the vernacular, you know, the 144,000, the first fruits. He had the overcoming company. He was numerically in kind, and he was very, very charismatic. And he was very nice looking young man. Hallelujah. And very charismatic, using all the right terms. But I noticed something in his preaching. He skipped over all the rough parts. Hallelujah. He talked about the two witness company, the power, the anointing, the unction, the going through and the casting down, the fire coming out of their mouth. He never once mentioned the sackcloth. Hallelujah. Never once mentioned it. And there were so many other things, and it alarmed me so much that it scared me to death almost. And, you know, I went to God and I said, why? What is happening? And what is happening? And he said, my people do not know me. Some of you have plans for 5 years out there in the future. Maybe 6 years, 10, 7 years, 8 years, 10 years. I don't know. Hallelujah. And I don't know if it's so common here, but there, you probably have investment portfolios and all of the things that go into that way to make your money grow. I have nothing wrong with that if that is what God told you to do with your money. Hallelujah. But how do you know? You don't have any control over your currency. None. Absolutely. You have very little control over your electricity and over your water. So what makes you think that you can control your money, the value of it, as to whether it will maintain what it is? You need a word for God. 2010, God told me to tell the people of God that it was the year to buy gold. And I argued with God. You never done that, right? Hallelujah. I said, God, there are some people who have no money. How are they going to buy gold? So you mean spiritual gold. You mean nature of God. Get to know Him. You know, there's a funny thing about God. He won't argue with you. He just said to me, tell my people it is time to buy gold. I came back to God maybe about three times. And on the third time when he said, tell, and he said it in a way that I knew, don't ask him again. He said, tell my people to buy gold. So I said, all right, praise the Lord. I'll go out and I'll tell people to buy gold. And it just suddenly hit me. It's amazing what obedience will do when you submit to the Lord and how He will open your understanding. Hallelujah. You know, it's not a matter of how much gold you buy. Did you know that? It is obedience to do what it is that God tells you to do. And you know, when I came to that conclusion, what God said to me? He said, I will multiply. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. What does it say? Obedience is better than sacrifice. Hallelujah. That was in 2010. Hallelujah. Gold went up real high and then it fell back down, but it's never been down to what it was in 2010. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And I think that we will see in the future how it goes. Hallelujah. But there is a position, there is a place, and there's something else that you need to be cognizant of, because you believe in the fivefold ministry, right? Well, you're supposed to. It's part of the revelation. All of them are just looking at me, I think. I see one or two of you shaking your head. The rest of you don't believe in the fivefold ministry? Huh? Hallelujah. Well, you better believe in the fivefold ministry, because the fivefold ministry, and brethren, I am not pointing to the fivefold ministry. I am pointing to the relative importance of the fivefold ministry in the hour in which we live. You are supposed to have an apostolic word that was brought to you by an apostle, not appointed of man, but appointed of God. Who was sent of God, who came to you specifically on a word to go here. Come here. Hello? Oh my goodness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it says that ministry will work in the body till when? Work in the church till when? Till we all come. Till we all come. It's not a man that stands up and says, I'm an apostle, or I'm an evangelist, or I'm a shepherd, or I am a prophet. It is what you sense in the Spirit according to the calling and the election that is upon the man's life. And I got news for you. If you got the Holy Spirit and you have a relationship of walking and talking with God, God is going to say, hear ye this man, he is my servant. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The ministry in that respect needs no accreditation from man. Doesn't have to prove anything. Doesn't have to have a name tag saying, I am an apostle. Hello? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, it is essential that we know and recognize that ministry. Because one of the ministries is going to be paramount whether or not I live or die when I am supposed to. Hello? Hallelujah. Because it says, I will do nothing. I will do nothing. unless I what? First, reveal it to my prophets. Hallelujah. So you have a responsibility. You have a responsibility to encourage the prophetic ministry, not just in a man that is appointed of God, but in the midst of your, in the midst of your fellowship. Hello? Hallelujah. You know, they call the Pentecostals Pentecostals because they believe in the Pentecost experience. Hallelujah. But you can go into any Pentecostal church today, and outside of the shouting, the whooping, the hollering, and all of the mechanics they go through in that way, you won't hear a word of prophecy hardly. Unless it is glowing and loving and pushing and encouraging everybody to dance and clap louder. Hello? They're not prophesying of the doom that is coming. They're not prophesying of the tribulation or the trouble that the congregation is in because of the sin that the congregation is sitting in.
Oh, yeah.
Hello? The gospel is to reveal sin. Hello?
Yeah.
Did you hear me?
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
The gospel is designed to pinpoint my infirmity. And when my infirmity is pinpointed, I have a responsibility. Hello? I have a responsibility to respond to God in an appropriate manner. Hello? Hallelujah. So, you know, it's important for us to encourage that type of environment. Now, we don't come in and say, you're going to have to prophesy, and you're prophesying, you're going to do that. No. Hallelujah. We are encouraging you to get in touch with a living God. We are encouraging you to develop a lifestyle of relationship. We are encouraging you to develop a lifestyle of relationship. Did you hear me? That's what we are encouraging you to do. It's not a matter of you finding somebody to sit under. God will provide that when you need it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But you are responsible for working out your salvation. But the fact of the matter is, we don't fear and tremble anymore. We don't fear and tremble anymore. God has become something of a household fixture for us. Hallelujah. He's become something of an ornament that we adorn or that we wear to be able to identify with the reality of what the world thinks as being Christian. Hallelujah. We begin to dress like the rest of the world. We listen to the music of the rest of the world. We go to the movies that the rest of the world goes to. Hello? We watch things that we should not be watching. There is not one movie that I know that I have ever seen or heard of that is not have some sort of explicit sexual content in it. If not outward, it is always implied. And you know, there's a spirit behind that. There's a spirit behind that. Hallelujah. And brethren, music that moves our body isn't spiritual music. Not in the sense of heaven spirituality. Music should not move your body. Music should touch your soul.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, that isn't to say that one of these artists doesn't come up with a song every now and then. One of them that I personally like is Ancient Words. The emphasis is on the Word of God. The emphasis is on the aspect of relationship. It's talking about you and me and God. Or just talking about me and God. And that is something we are evidently too busy to cultivate. You know, if we treated our husbands, our wives, or our children like we treat God, we would not be married. We would not have families. Well, maybe we were that way anyway. Huh? Hallelujah. How much time do you spend together as a family, studying the Bible and seeking the Word of God and digging into the Scriptures? You know, it just blessed the socks off of me. I had one of my grandsons come to me, and he asked me a question about something that I was ministering on, and the question he answered me, I couldn't answer. Hallelujah. And I had to go back to God, and I had to begin to say, now, this is a good question. And the question was such a question that it kind of pulled me short, because I was moving in a certain way with a certain thought, and God was stopping me. Hello? He wanted me to back up, put it in reverse, and then put it into neutral and just meditate and chew on it. So I'm doing that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, we should not be raising our children on the concept or the basis of the world. We should be raising our children on the basis of eternity. Hallelujah. I made a mistake with my children. I emphasized the natural. I emphasized the position of responsibility, accountability, and the fact that they had to be responsible. And in the midst of it, because they were in my home and because we had church in our home for 20 plus some years, hallelujah, I assumed that they were getting it. The spiritual reality of it. They weren't getting it. No. Hallelujah. And I made a correction in my behavior with my grandchildren because of it, but I had to come back again and do it again. We took one of our granddaughters, we took them to the Philippines, and they were with us in the mission there and whatnot, got them involved, and that's something I should have done with my children. Hallelujah. But unfortunately, I did, and I'm not making the same mistake with my children, my grandchildren. Hallelujah. It says that a man's inheritance doesn't go to his children. It goes to his grandchildren. So I'm building up an inheritance for them. Hallelujah. So I took this particular child. She was older, and I took her, and we were teaching tabernacle, which I was going to kind of go into tonight. Maybe I will, maybe I won't. I don't know. Teaching tabernacle, and we're dealing with the church, so we're talking about pastors, bishops, and all of those things, and we're laying down the foundation, bang, 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 meeting after meeting after meeting after meeting. She came to me one day after the meeting, and she said, you know, Grandpa, I now understand why we don't believe in pastors. She was 17 years old. 17 years old. And you know, I've been involved in some of it the last couple of years with your teenagers. And what I am finding and what I am discovering is that they don't know why or what it is that you believe. And not only that, but they are being drawn by the world and slowly entangled and ensnared in all of the apparatus that the world is offering them. Hallelujah. That should not be with us. We have made a mistake, but it's not too late for us to wake ourselves up. Hallelujah. There is a particular scripture. It's in Isaiah somewhere. Maybe somebody knows where it's at. But it says, arise and shake thyself. No, it says awake, awake, doesn't it? Huh? Isaiah. Hallelujah. Isaiah 52. Awake, awake. Put on thy strength. That means you are sleeping, sleeping, sleeping. Hallelujah. And in your place of sleeping, you have no strength. Hallelujah. When you get up in the morning, what do? Hallelujah. What do? Nobody wants to tell me. Well, you probably hop out of bed. Probably you don't eat breakfast. You just probably grab something to run with and just get down the road, right? What about the scripture that says, early will I rise? To do what? To get my breakfast? To beat the traffic out here in the street? What? Early will I rise to seek thee. You are to be a soldier. You are. Don't we sing a song? Army of the Lord. Army of the Lord. Don't we have that song? Do you have that song?
Yes.
Nobody's talking to me.
Yes.
My goodness. Hallelujah. Well, maybe you will be glad to see me leave. Praise God. Hallelujah. Because I can be like a thorn sometimes. Hallelujah. We're supposed to be an army. You know, a soldier doesn't do anything unless he first is instructed as to what he is to do. Hello? You know, I spent a couple of years in the army. Best thing I ever did. Hallelujah. And I did it because I was running from myself, but nevertheless, God used it. Hallelujah. Because it taught me discipline. It taught me regimentation. It taught me that there is a position or a place of having to submit. Hello? I didn't know what submission was. I was raised with a silver spoon in my mouth. I can relate to a lot of your children. Hallelujah. Do you want to know the meat grinder God put me through to deliver me of that malady of that silver spoon? Huh? It was hellacious. Hallelujah. He put me through the meat grinder, ground me like this, picked it up, stuck it back in there, and did it again over a period of about 25 years. Huh? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Some situations I thought would destroy me, but you know they did. They killed me. But in its place, God gave me something else. But I should not have had to done that if my parents would have done what they were supposed to do. Your children should not have to do that. Hello? You have a word that my mom did not have. My mom was a Southern Baptist lady. Hello? Boy, I mean, she was Southern Baptist. She believed in witnessing and getting people saved. Praise the Lord. I'd bring my friends home and she would get them saved. I stopped bringing my friends home. Hallelujah. Because they would tell me what I was doing was wrong. Hallelujah. Praise God for her Southern Baptist tenacity and her experience. Then she got filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she filled all of us kids. She said, "All you kids need this power."
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for what she did, but she did not have the knowledge. She did not have the experience. She did not have the revelation that we have. Hello? Hallelujah. We need to be teaching our children. You know, schooling is very important, and that's one of the issues. When we first were having children, we decided we did not want to send them to school. We decided it, my wife and I. Now, this was over 30 years ago. Homeschooling was not a thing that you did in the United States at that time. It was not something that was heard of. In fact, they might even accuse you of child abuse if you weren't going to send your kids to school. Hello? Hallelujah. But we made a decision because on the basis, I was doing some investigation. And you know, I am not a learned person. I am not a person who easily gets into books and does this and that and that. But when it comes down to certain issues, I feel that there is a necessity for me to know so I can make the right decision. And I decided that I was not sending my kids to school. Hello? Because I got down and I found out, this was so many years ago, I can't remember it all, but the educational system was coming out of someplace in Germany. Huh? And the totality of it was to isolate and to annihilate or eradicate the reality of God out of education. Hello? Hallelujah. And we have this thing called the National Board of Education. Hallelujah. And they feel it is their right to usurp your parental authority. Oh, yes, we had to deal with all of the ramifications of socialization and all of the things that go in all of that. But you know, my kids are extremely socialized. And my grandkids, whoo, hallelujah, hallelujah. So there is a foundation that you and I as parents must lay for our children. Hallelujah. You know what? Come on. Of course, my society and the place that I live is different. The culture is different. The economy is different. Maybe we have opportunities that you don't have. But what about God? What about God? I know a man in Europe who does not have a college education, but God exalted his ability to have that intellect that was needed. He got into positions above and beyond. He should not have had those positions. He had no degree. All he had was the Holy Ghost. Hello? That's all he had. He climbed the ladder, 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 until he climbed it so hard they couldn't put him anywhere. He stepped out on his own. Amen. Hallelujah. And God has blessed the man. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He has blessed the man. Amen. Hello? Amen. Hallelujah. What did he need a college degree for? I don't know. You can call me anything you want to, not up to date, whatever you want. But there is something about a reality of eternity that we are missing. There's something about a position of relationship and an ability to tap into one of the biggest computers that no man ever has any knowledge of. He's omnipotent. I always have trouble with the word. So, he's omnipresent, huh? Omnipotent, omniscient, omnipotent. I say it wrong, but all powerful, huh? That's the nature of God. That's the God we serve. What God do you have inside of you to show you? You do, but how often do you use it?
Huh?
Hallelujah! You have a dream, and in a dream you dream something of over there that's going on. Is that just a dream? No, God has got you down. He settled you down. The business is quieted. On all the traffic of the day, it's been isolated and ostracized. Now God comes into the midst of you and tells you and shows you what's going on around the world. Halfway around the globe. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have been in so many different places. Oh, Brother George, bless his heart. He's a dreamer. We have an expression, here comes the dreamer, kill him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And there is a move in the church to discount the dreams, you know that. In the Holy Place Church. Hallelujah. And there is a move in the church to curtail and to control the word of prophecy. In the Holy Place Church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And if they're trying to do that, what are they going to do with the apostolic message that's been given to us? Huh? There's been many different varieties of this message, praise the Lord, that are off-center. I'm a builder, and I drive people crazy because I like to be so exact. Hallelujah. I like to be so exact. I mean, I'm laying down a slab that's going to put a house on it, and I will measure it this way, and I will measure it this way. That thing has got to be square. Got to be square within up to an eighth or a quarter of an inch. No variation in any form, any fashion. Did you hear me? Hallelujah. Because I know that when I get up on top, if it's not square down here on the bottom, I'm going to have problems. Hallelujah. And my job is going to be compounded when I go to build the upper story or put a roof on it. One time I worked on a house. I was to do the framing on the upper side, on the second story. And as I was framing it, I found out that the house was about 3 inches off out of square. Well, the 3 inches wound up in the stairwell, so the wall of the upstairs bedroom was hanging 3 inches over into the stairwell. Hallelujah. You can be off of one little bitty microsecond of an inch, and if you pull that line out and you pull another line out, down there, down the road, they're going to be miles apart. Miles apart. And there, we preach a gospel that has no tolerance. There's no tolerance in the gospel. Do you hear me? No tolerance. Hallelujah. The offering that was offered had to be perfect. Do you hear me? Hallelujah. The offering had to be perfect. Perfect, 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 perfect. Do you have another definition for perfect? If you do, please let me know what it is. Because perfect means no spot, no blemish. No wrinkle. No, nothing. No discoloration. Hello? Hallelujah. And it doesn't make any difference what people say about you. If your actions and the things that you are doing is in line with the precepts of the Word, and they are have the marks of the furniture of the tabernacle upon your soul, indelibly written, indelibly printed. Hello? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brethren, I'm trying to save your lives, I think, and mine. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know. Your economical system, you've already switched over to China for money. Huh? How many of you are going to trust China with your money? Oh my goodness. Hallelujah. It says, awake, awake, put on thy strength. There is something that God is... The Word comes with an unction. The Word comes with a key. The Word comes with an anointing. Hallelujah. And if we believe, or if I believe that the Lord is saying for me to awake, then that moment, that time frame is very critical to me in having to wake myself up. Hello? Hallelujah. And if I wake myself on and he tells me to put on my strength, then my strength is there to be put on. Hallelujah. I get up in the morning, my eyes crack open, and I say, the mercies of God are new every morning. Oh God, I certainly need your mercy this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I have to appropriate it. It's one thing to have it there. Hello? It's another thing to appropriate it. What good is my money in the bank and I need to buy something if I don't get the money out of the bank and take it down and buy it? Hello? What value is that money? Hello? Because it says thy mercies are new every morning, you think they're just going to sit there in reserve until you get ready to come to them? It's like the manna, brethren. The manna was something that had to be taken each and every day for that day. Huh? And if you tried to save it over, or hold it over, no good. It rotted. It stank. Hello? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And a lot of you young people, you've been riding on the shirt tail of your parents. And you're of an age of accountability, and God is going to hold you accountable. You have grown up under a specific word. Whether your parents did the right thing by it or not, you have had an exposure to it. You have a responsibility. You have a responsibility. You have an accountability. You're not going to be able to turn around and say, well, my dad or my mom, they did this and they did that. That's a bunch of poppycock. It's going to be moot point. Hallelujah. Amen. Because you have the blood, you have the Holy Spirit, and you have to overcome your ancestral heritage. Amen. Hello? Amen. There are no as-bills in the kingdom of God. Amen. There is no grandchildren as-bills in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It is every man and every woman has to make the position of decision. Hello?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And in some respects, you are what we would call the third generation that have set under the auspices the authority of that word. You should be so much further along. Hallelujah. And if you don't think that you're not going to be held accountable for it, you are wrong. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This gospel is now going into the highways and the byways. What does that tell you? Hallelujah. We had a contingent of pastors who had been pastors for 20, 25, or 30 years who told us they have never, ever, ever heard a word like we are bringing. Hallelujah. And they said, please, don't forget us. Please, come back. Hello? Hello? Are you there? Hallelujah. And I'm saying to God, how can we come back? We have so many places to go, so many doors open. There's so few of us. Hallelujah. You know, I don't know. I spend more time on the road. I spend more time in Africa than I spend anywhere. Hello? Traveling from house to house, house to house, house to house. Hello? Huh? Why? Because Jesus Christ is coming. Jesus Christ is coming. Hallelujah. And I don't want to be found sitting in the corner or basking in a chair in the sun. I want to be found with my hand on the plow. Hallelujah. My eyes set down across the field, watching that plow turn over that earth. Hallelujah. 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 I don't know about you. I am finding that without this, I'm a dead man. I mean dead man. Dead, dead, dead man. I'm dead man. Hallelujah. I need the written word. I need the spoken word. I need the praise and worship word. I need the communion, a fellowship word. Hallelujah. I need all of the things that are pertinent to my heritage. I cannot be about my natural father's business. I have to be about my heavenly father's business. Hallelujah. Have we even stopped to ask him, what business are you in? And what is your business that I am to do today? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, Brother George, he blesses me. Always got these tracks on him. You know, some people just have the knack. Some people just have, you know me, I want to sit in the chair and I just don't want to talk to nobody. Hallelujah. George, he's not like that. Praise God. Hallelujah. Sit down behind like a Catholic priest, an archbishop, and begin to talk to them about the blood of Jesus Christ. One time he asked him, that was Brother Mark. He asked him, why is it you people believe so many things that are contrary to the Bible? The man wouldn't get offended. He just gave him an answer. Well, we are contemporary Christians. Contemporary. Well, I think that shoe can fit a lot of us, including those of us in the Holy Place Church. We are contemporary Holy Place Christians. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible says that there has been a word. John chapter 17 says that there has been a word that was bequeathed, that was given to the disciples. And that word the disciples gave unto us. Hello? And that word is to alienate us from everything that is not of God. Have you ever walked into a place and met somebody and they instantaneously did not like you? Oh, yes. Hallelujah. We used to travel with a sister. Boy, the devil had a big X on her. Huh? Hallelujah. We'd be sitting in a restaurant. Somebody would come up to him and says, if you look me up one more time, I'm going to punch you right in the face. And she never looked at him, maybe in passing. Hallelujah. But the woman that came up to her had a problem. She was a lesbian. And there was something in the woman that was seeing it. Hello? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We should be like that. We should be like that. We should be able to walk down, sit in a room, sit in a congregation, and sense the presence of God or the devil. Little girl, 7 years old, hallelujah, got up in a meeting and said, the Holy Spirit said that the devil has his helpers here in this meeting. And I command you in the name of Jesus, you devil workers, take your devil worker out the door. Hallelujah. 5 or 6 people made a mad dash for the door. Little girl had to stand up on a chair. Are you teaching your children how to discern? Huh? Have you teaching your children how to move in the Spirit and not be afraid? Huh? What's going to happen when the great tribulation comes and somebody with the butt of a gun breaks down your door? Hello? Are you going to wait for that time frame? Hallelujah. God, I hope not. If you wait for that time frame, you waited too long. Hello? Hallelujah. And we're not going to, and those of us who make it, and I said us, those of us who make it, not going to be walking on easy street, believe you me. They're going to be looking to kill you. They're going to be looking to malign you, do all kinds of diabolical things to you. Hello? Hallelujah. But you're going to have a responsibility because there's going to be a wilderness church that you are going to have to feed. Are you ready to feed them?
Hallelujah.
Huh? Are you ready to succor them? Are you ready to hide them? Are you ready to be the covering that covers them, that protects them? How do you think they're going to be hid? In a cave somewhere, maybe, I don't know. But you know, with the technology they have and the infrared seekers that they have, they can find you anywhere. You got chips in your phone, chips in your car. You didn't used to have cars that had no chips. You don't have them anymore. You got those newfangled things, they got chips in them. They can pinpoint you within within about 100 feet, if not closer. Hello? And your phone, it tracks you everywhere you go. Everywhere you go, every time I turn that phone on, oh, he's over here. Whoop, he's over there. Whoops, he's over there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brethren, this is really serious business. This message is serious business. Do you hear me? To say you're a son of God, to say that you believe in the end time and you're really not allowing the things to happen to you and to bring you and deliver you from your humanity, you and I will be in trouble. Hallelujah. Be in trouble. We need to get down to brass tacks with God. We need to repent. I just get up in the morning and say, God, I want to say I'm so sorry for everything I'll do wrong today. Oh my God. Hallelujah. Help me not to do wrong again. I had a little grandchild come to me when she was 3 years old. She crawled up on my lap. There was a word that was being ministered on the blood. It was deep. You know how Brother Dusil can get deep. Huh? Deep in the word. And he was ministering on the blood on the crucifixion. Hallelujah. Hour and a half, 3 years old, playing down there on her little blanket and not, you know, we made them behave themselves. They didn't wander in and out and all over the place. They didn't get up to get a drink. Didn't go out to the bathroom. They had to sit. Hello? Hallelujah. She crawled up in my lap after the meeting and she says, Grandpa, I don't want to be nunny anymore. She accepted the Lord Jesus Christ right then and there. 3 years old.
Oh, yeah.
Huh? I saw a woman. You know, there was a church I was going to off and on over the years. And there was a woman that had a child there. And I watched that child grow. Every time I'd come back, that child would be bigger. That child would be bigger. That child was all over the place. She was one of these live wires. Just all over the place. And the woman did nothing to curtail him, did nothing to train him, did not teach him how to sit and listen. Hallelujah. When I came back the last time, he was about 16 or 17, and he fell asleep in the meeting. No interest. And she cuffs him, trying to wake him up. What's good that going to do? Hallelujah. You've trained the child to do what the child is doing. So now you're angry at him because he's doing what you taught him to do. Hallelujah. It's serious. It's serious business. Hallelujah. I don't want to raise my child to be like me. Hello? Don't want to raise my grandchildren. Follow me as I follow Christ. But in order for them to know how to follow me and when not to follow me, they have to know Christ. So I have to teach them the reality of that position, that place. I start right here in the tabernacle. Praise God. Hallelujah. We start right here in this tabernacle. Hallelujah. Right here. Bang. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. These pieces of furniture that are in the tabernacle, they're not pieces of furniture. They are instruments of God. Hallelujah. That are to leave an indelible mark upon your character. Did you hear me? An indelible mark means a change that is so radical and so opposite that which they were born with. Hallelujah. 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 We have a responsibility. Awake, awake. Put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy strength. It's talking about the seven works of grace that are in the tabernacle. Seven works. Seven is the number of perfection. We want to make an allowance for it. Brethren, I believe that we as a holy place people have a rapture doctrine. I really believe it. You may not say you believe it, but your actions demonstrate it. My actions demonstrate what I believe. Hello? Hallelujah. 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 We have a little grandson about that age of that one right over there, I think. I want to be able to teach that grandson how to rebuke the devil. Hello? I want to teach him how he has to overcome what is inside of him in order to rebuke the devil. Hallelujah. We can't blame it on the devil anymore. Oh, Flip Wilson. Anybody? No, that was my generation. Hallelujah. He coined a phrase that said, devil made me do it. No. Devil just utilized what you are in your unregenerative state and nature to produce the darkness that he needed to destroy you and the environment around you. Hallelujah. My mother used to come to me and say, Bert, you're your own worst enemy. You know, it was a prophetic word to me. Hallelujah. Because she knew the nature that was in me, and that nature is self-destructive. Why do you think we are prone to drink? Why do you think we are prone to smoke? Why do you think we are prone to lavish ourselves in sexual improprieties? Why? Hello? Because we are self-destructive. Hallelujah. We've been programmed to be self-destructive. Hello? We have a whole devil psychology division. Devil psychiatrist. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Propagating self-destruction. If it feels good, do it. If it's something that is inside of you, let it out. Oh yes. Oh yes, this is what they're teaching your children. Hello? You used to have a very healthy respect for older people. Now, that healthy respect was on the basis of ancestral worship and spirit. But, hello? You are losing even that. You are losing even that. Hello? Hallelujah. You are losing even that. Why? Because you have lost contact. You have lost connection. Let me just put it, maybe you haven't lost contact. Maybe your connections are corroded. Corroded with the things of prosperity. Corroded with the things of the world. Corroded with the things of how man thinks. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, sometimes they get this on the electrical connections. They get this green stuff that grows up around the contact, and they will not make good contact. Electricity begins to be less and less and less and less until one day there is no electricity. Huh? Why? The connection is for you. Got to take it off. You got to get a brush and clean it all up. Hello. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The Bible talks about humanity that has a belly for a God. Hallelujah. You know, there's something that I don't know that we notice, but these things that are being spoken of, they are being applied, they are being written to a holy place people in church environments. Paul is dealing and Peter is dealing and James is dealing not with the heathen. He's dealing with the elect. He's dealing with the called out. He's dealing with those that have the stamp and the mark of sonship upon them. Those brethren didn't preach. Those brethren did not preach non-denominational church. They did not preach. We get our revelation from them. They were preaching something that far above what it is that we are now preaching. And there was a response in the people. Hello? Not like bumps on logs. Sit there. Hallelujah. It's serious. It's serious. This is serious business, brethren. Serious brethren. Oh, Zion. Who is Zion? Zion is God's elect. Zion is the heart or the apple of God's eye. Hallelujah. The dilemma is not the world. The dilemma is not the devil. The dilemma is you and I are in our passivity, in our place of ignorance concerning where it is that we need to be and where it is that we really are. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I don't know. Time is short, brethren. I may never get back here again. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. As far as I am concerned, or the world is concerned, much less things that pertain to me personally, I don't know. But I have to tell you what I believe that God is telling me to tell you. Hello? Hallelujah. I have a responsibility to you as children that have grown up. Hello? I don't know that I'm much older than some of you, but some of you I am, I suppose. Hello? Hallelujah. But I was here in the beginning. There's something indelibly written on my heart concerning the burden and the care of the work and the labor that went into you as a people. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, Ozzy, you girls had nothing. Hallelujah. And look at you today. Hallelujah. You had nothing. Look at you today, Brother Isaac. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You have a responsibility to God and to yourselves as well as to the brethren. Hallelujah. You have a responsibility. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, says, oh Zion, put on thy beautiful garments. That means we're not beautiful now. It means we're not beautiful now. A revelation. Hallelujah. Revelation. Hallelujah. I want to turn to the Church of the Laodiceans. Hallelujah. Chapter 3. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Hallelujah. Verse 17, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased in goods and have need of nothing. I can look at that and I can compare my life and my position and my place, and I can say, my goodness, is it just me, or does it seem as though he's talking to me? Hallelujah. Knowest thou not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind, and thou art naked? Hello? I counsel thee to buy of me gold. Hallelujah. It's the time to buy gold, Brother Edie. It's the time to sell all that you have. Hello? Not talking about your physical. You go to God. You ask God what it is that you need to sell. What it is that you have that you need to give up. And God will be very explicit with you. God will be very direct with you. I pray that you and I will have the strength to hear God. Sometimes God talks to us about what it is we need to do, and we begin to rebuke it as the devil. Hallelujah. But you and I need a word from God. Hello? And we need divine intervention. Intervention, divine intervention. We have so fabricated intricate web of life around us that it's going to take divine intervention to extract us out of it. But God is able. If you have a heart, if you have a desire, if you have a will, if you want to hear and know the will of God, God will move. May not move the way you want him to move, but before you rebuke the devil, I would be sure that you determine that it is the devil and not God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says, you are poor, wretched, you are blind. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I counsel thee to buy of gold tried in the fire. How's that gold going to be tried? Fire. Hallelujah. And thou mayest be rich in white raiment, and thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and thou anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. It's essential, brethren. It's critical to us now as a people. Do you want to be like them that were wandering in the wilderness and any above the age of 20 died? I don't want to be found with my bones bleaching in the sand of that desert. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to be a part of the Joshua. I want to be a part of the Caleb and Joshua company. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, I like Caleb. Who was it? Joshua, the son of Nun. Hallelujah. Joshua, the son of Nun. Hallelujah. I want to be a part of that company. I don't want to find myself out there with my bones bleaching. Huh? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So awake and arise, he says. Hallelujah. Put on thy beautiful garments. Oh, Jerusalem, the holy city. Hallelujah. We sing a song, right? I see the holy city. What is the word to that song? Speed it up a little bit. Speed it up a little bit. Let's stand up and sing it. Come on, stand up, stand up, stand up. command.